You've seen that heads are important. They're important for words and they're also important for phrases. Heads are the heads of particular phrases, and we suggested in the earlier little audio on MP3 that there may be more than just words that are heads of phrases. So what are the characteristics that make something a head? We've already seen that heads determine the distributional properties of the phrases. Phrases fit in the places they do because they have the kinds of heads they do. But there's more to it than that. In the book, we said that heads have particular kinds of subcategories, so that there are subcategories of verbs. Those subcategories are determined by the complements that the heads have. So heads and complements are intimately related. Particular kinds of heads take particular kinds of complements, and as a result of that, they belong to subcategories. So there is a second characteristic, also to do with distribution, but a little more specific perhaps. There's a third property that we can see with heads. In the case of grammatical heads, syntactic heads, heads have a lot to do with agreement properties. For example, if we take the head of a noun phrase, it might be plural. If it's plural, then we can't use a with it. That's said in the textbook. If we have a language like German or French where there is gender, gender is an inherent property of nouns. Nouns belong to particular genders. That's just something you have to learn. If the head has a particular gender, then often the adjectives that go with it have to have particular forms that go with that particular gender. These are called agreement. So here we have three different properties of heads, all of which are important for the grammar of phrases. But what about speakers and hearers? Let's suppose that heads are not just central for the grammar, but they're also semantically central. If we're building a noun phrase, then the head of that noun phrase is the most significant thing around which all the other bits and pieces in the phrase are built. So, as we saw in Cooper and Allen Mark III, red houses are houses which are red. So the house has a particular property, and the house is the head, and the redness is a property that it has because it's a head. Let's now look briefly at language from the hearer's point of view. In the hearer's ear goes a whole lot of noise, and the hearer has to sort out what that noise means. If the hearer thinks, I must look for the heads of phrases when they're actually looking up each word as they get to it, then the heads of phrase help a lot in helping the hearer determine what the meaning of the whole thing is. In order to determine that, they first have to, if you like, build the tree diagram, because unless they know what the tree diagram is, that is, which bits go together in a phrase, it's virtually impossible to understand what it is that's being said. So there are semantic reasons for having heads. Let's look briefly at one other possible syntactic reason for having heads that are not words. We know that there are reasons for supposing that some constituents get moved about. Well, where do they get moved to? What sorts of movements are possible? It turns out that the non-word heads, things like inflections, may have something to do with what movements are possible. That's often proposed in some advanced theories of grammar, and it's just another reason for having heads.